Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The psalm, Psalm 121, first is a song of ascent. It's one of the psalms from this morning, actually, in the Psalter. It's the songs that you would say, the psalms that you would say as you were making your journey up to Jerusalem. I think it's so amazing, and a witness to God enthroned in his heaven, that just this last Sunday, the Old Testament passage was the law from Exodus, the law given, the Ten Commandments, as well as this gospel passage that we had, which was Jesus riffing on Isaiah 5, a parable about Israel as a vine that is cared for or not. And then in the prayers of the people, I don't know if you caught it, but we were praying for Jerusalem and for the church in the Middle East. No, those things aren't coincidences. And where I'm coming from, the liturgical gods, the folks who put together lectionaries and Anglican prayer cycles, it's not like they have some crystal ball or something. I think we are living in interesting days. No less than what they were when Jesus ascended and told his church to wait for him. Because power from on high was going to come upon them to equip them for these last days that we've been in ever since he went to the Father's right hand. The word I hope that you'll remember about Israel and what's happening there right now is this. It's exactly as Jesus said it would be. There'd be wars and rumors of wars until he comes. Until he comes. There's something special about Daniel or Ezekiel for them, even though I've gone to Daniel for tonight. Paul talks about New Israel. He talks about the fulfillment of the promises, of the hopes of the ancient people of God coming down to Jesus for the life of the whole world. And so these are promises now. These are a covenant now that God's made for all. And he's going to keep his promises that he's made to his people one generation after the next. One of those stars that Abraham saw in that night sky was lit for you. And the other stars around it were lit for those beautiful children at a music festival. And for those who've been harmed in the worst way. And so I just, as we face the times that could drive us mad like Nebuchadnezzar, I think it's important for us to see what the scriptures are calling us to, which is a faithfulness. There are people who have outlined and drawn pictures of the way that things are going to be in the last ages. And I just want you to put that in the recycle bin, okay? And go with what Jesus said about it, which is, my Father knows. And I call you to faithfulness to him in these last days, as they have been the last days since his ascension. So back to Nebuchadnezzar. This is one of those powerful healing stories in the Old Testament. Those are what we're focusing on during the month of October. Those moments of healing. This is a peculiar one, right? Because this is King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he is a top dog in the world. On the global stage, he is a major player in geopolitical realities that shaped the lives of so many people and world history. And here he has something to do with God Most High, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Heaven and Earth, the Covenant God of Israel. In his self-aggrandizement project, he's cut down. It says, while the words were still in the king's mouth, that voice from heaven came and drove him mad and drove him into the wilderness. But how did the healing come for Nebuchadnezzar? What happened? It's so poetic. It's so beautiful. We wish this was the way that it always was, don't we? Especially for those who are suffering from tremendous mental illness. You know, for Nebuchadnezzar, he's driven to the end of his rope. His office is there at the end of his rope. And he says, at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to the heavens, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. Nebuchadnezzar, in an instant, is restored to his right mind by lifting up his eyes to the heavens. And I'm not here tonight to say that there's a quick fix for what hurts and what's heavy on you and what is certainly maybe something that has shaped much of your life, with mental illness defining so much and claiming so much of your bandwidth in your life. But I'm here to tell you that suffering in this way is notable. It's suffering in this way is understood as an opportunity for God to intervene. And that's what we believe happens. And in the New Testament, as we see these moments of intervention, when people are not suffering the same, but disturbed, and almost put out of their minds, like Nebuchadnezzar was driven mad, we see the hand of God intervening in their life. And I know it's hard to talk about these days in this way, but there are places in our lives where what's required is this penitential season before direct intervention from God Most High. And we can be stopped dead in our tracks while the words are still in our mouth when we're talking about ourselves. And then God intervenes. And here's this story. This is from the book of Acts. I want you to pay attention to what happened to Simon the magician. Well, instead of looking it up, I'll just tell you, Simon the magician was jealous for seeing God work through the apostolic ministry of his day. And he went to the apostles and said, I want what you've got, because I want in on the same kind of blessings. I want in on the same kind of work. And he's shut down in a moment, in an instant. God intervenes. Over and over again, we hear this particular message about God speaking to the hearts of folks. And in Colossians 1:27, we hear what's confirmed. This is what I think would have been on Nebuchadnezzar's lips. Now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. This is Paul. And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office, which was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. How? By direct encounter. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with the energy which he mightily inspires within me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whatever the measure of suffering is in your life, it's bringing us, as the potential to bring us to the brink of a direct encounter with the Lord, especially when it is that of being mentally oppressed. There is the strong hand of love, the possibility of the strong hand of love upon your life in that moment. And to discern that, to know the difference between that and the opportunity to get the brain chemistry right, is particular, and we do not presume to know, you know, or to have a decoder ring in order to discern that among you tonight. That's not what I'm saying. But it is possible for someone among us to pray for you tonight and for your quote unquote sanity to be restored in the same way that it was for King Nebuchadnezzar. If you have been driven out into the wilderness, if you are suffering by being in a situation where the dew is on your back, it is an opportunity for God Almighty to intervene. If you are grazing among the animals, it is an opportunity for God to intervene. If you've been reduced to subhuman characteristics in your life, is an opportunity for God to intervene in your life directly. That's what we believe can happen among God's people. And that's what we look for him to do for you tonight. He's done it before and he will do it again. This is also what ends up being proclaimed in John 1 when it says, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people received him not, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. What was most important about you was finally named when you became a Christian. Or if you haven't become a Christian, what's most important about you can be named tonight by other lost daughters and sons of Adam and Eve who've come home, who've found their way home, who were drawn home, who've experienced the same liberation, who were set free from the powers that be in this world. As John says, who were born again, as he would later say, but who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. In that one instant, when he was driven almost to being like an animal in the wild, God intervened and he was born again. In an instant, it says, when he lifted up his eyes to the heavens, he was restored as a man. He was put right within himself. And God can do that for you. If you've abdicated to drugs, if you've self-abdicated and surrendered yourself to whatever powers might be, if it's alcohol, if it's pornography, if it's being in debt, or if it's your workload, if it's whatever it is that has bound your life and determined your days instead of the liberty that God has given you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, your sanity can be restored to you. If you've suffered from powers that are beyond you when it comes to having no freedom in your household, no sense of liberty or dignity in a relationship, or in your work, or among friends, that they're always going and determining not just how you're going to spend your time, but even beginning to lean in and tell you what to do with your money. There is a liberty among the children of God that you can know tonight. You can hear that at the end of the days, at the end of the days of my suffering, what I did was look up to the heavens and my reason was returned to me. I looked up and out of myself. It's like what happened to the woman who had that issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging. There was some issue for her. It kept her sick and so close to home. Talk about ball and chain. She was locked down at her own home. There was like a limited world that she knew because of her suffering. And in an instant, when she touched the hem of our Lord's robe, love and life that had been turned in on itself was suddenly turned up and outward. In an instant, her sanity was restored. Her reason was returned to her. Her dignity was given back to her. And as a new son of the Most High, as a daughter of the Most High, as his kid sister, that she just happened to bump into one day, as all the children of God do, their reason is returned to them, and then they break out in praise and worship. So, friends, I invite you to deal with Nebuchadnezzar and his story. What does his witness to his suffering and its restoration say to you tonight?